Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. No, currently we are not live on our usual frequency of WKAR AM 870 and 105.1 FM. Those who are tuned into the radio right now on both of those frequencies, you are listening to our NPR coverage of the funeral of former President George H.W. Bush, coming live from the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. Coverage has spanned since around 10 a.m. this morning. Going to be a bit of a different show. You know, in case they wrap up anytime between now and prior to 2 p.m., we will interject live on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. And those who are watching right now, the only way you can listen to the show right now or watch the show right now is, of course, at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. But those who are tuned in that way, just letting you guys know, if we do come back live and the funeral for former President George H.W. Bush does wrap up between this hour, sometime between now and 2 p.m., we will take a pause and take a brief break, and then we'll come back. And then we'll resume the show as normal. All right, so just letting you guys know, going to be slightly different depending on our coverage of the funeral for former President H.W. Bush. So now that I've got that out the way, all right, we've got a lot to talk about on today's Current Sports. Happy Hump Day to you all. It is Wednesday, December 5th, 2018. A bit of a gloomy and cold and snowy one here in mid-Michigan. Hope you're staying warm. On today's Current Sports, we will be addressing the retirement of Urban Meyer. Of course, Urban Meyer made the announcement yesterday that he will be stepping down after coaching the Rose Bowl game for the Ohio State football program. After that, he will step down and retire. And it looks as though right now, you know, we can debate back and forth whether or not this will be it for Urban Meyer on any kind of sideline, but there are many out there who speculate that this isn't it for Urban Meyer. He'll be on another team sideline pretty soon. This is just because of all of the controversy that happened in the offseason. We'll debate that, but I'll put in perspective the legacy of Urban Meyer in Columbus, Ohio. All right. We'll also talk about the Michigan State men's basketball team getting that thrilling victory, just a complete blowout over Iowa two nights ago inside of the friendly confines of the Breslin Center. Michigan State starting the Big Ten year 2-0. They will now head to Gainesville, Florida to take on the Florida Gators on Saturday at noon. You can catch that one on CBS. We'll have a few takeaways from the Spartans' big win over the Hawkeyes. And then on the back end of the show, Kareem Hunt, star football player for the NFL's Kansas City Chiefs. Well, his name has been in a lot of controversy as of late, as TMZ Sports put out a video that showed Kareem Hunt involved in an assault in which he did put hands on a young woman. Actually, I watched yesterday afternoon. TMZ actually got the body cam footage of one of the police officers as the police officer, you know, just tried to get a feel for what was going on, talking with the young woman who was assaulted, as well as talking with some acquaintances of Hunt. This has caused so much controversy that, as many of you know by now, the Kansas City Chiefs have decided to suspend Kareem Hunt, the NFL as well, of course, and release. They have released him, Jack. So that, I didn't know. I thought it was just a suspension. So right now they have released him. He is no longer a member of the Kansas City Chiefs organization.
That is correct, yep.
Okay. Is he also released from the National Football League as well?
I don't believe so. Let's, I think Trevor's got that. Something here.
Trevor, you have something? Trevor Toslowski.
He's on the commissioner's exempt list, same list that Reuben Foster is on.
The commissioner's exempt list, okay.
Correct. So you cannot play or practice. You are still a part of the NFL, but okay. You can't play or practice. Like I said, same list that Reuben Foster, obviously the linebacker from Washington, who had a similar issue come up. They are both on that list right now.
Makes sense. And he's also not on another list. That is the roster list of Madden 19, folks. I kid you not. The video game, the big video game that I am kind of obsessed over. Kareem Hunt has also been removed from Madden 19. So we'll address the Kareem Hunt situation. And if we have time, as of right now here on December 5th, we'll go through who we believe are the top NFL teams in the league right now. All right? So, loaded show, loaded hour. Again, thank you for those who are tuned in right now, the diehards, listening and watching at facebook.com/WKAR News. Again, one quick reminder, the reason why we are just streaming on Facebook right now and we are not live on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM is because we have NPR coverage of the funeral service of former President of the United States, George H.W. Bush. If things wrap up somehow between now and 2 p.m., we will be live on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM, and we'll take a brief pause for those watching on Facebook, and then we'll come right back and then proceed with the rest of the show. So just a quick heads up to you all. Let's proceed now with your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and also joining me live here in Studio S, well, you heard one voice that is in Studio S with me right now to clarify the whole Kareem Hunt situation. We have Trevor Toslowski, as well as Adam Mackey, current sports PAs and reporters who have been joining us throughout this semester. As you guys know, who have been tuning in throughout this week, this is the final week of the partnership, at least for this semester at least, of Journalism 418 with WKAR's Current Sports. Our students getting one final send-off this week before they wrap up finals next week, and some of them graduate, actually. So we have Adam Mackey and Trevor Toslowski in studio with us. And real quick, guys, Adam, what year are you?
Senior, and I graduate in May.
You're done in May. What about for you, Trevor?
I'm also graduating in May.
That is crazy because, you know, we had Jack Deem and Michael Duke in studio yesterday. They are both juniors. Tino Abarca is also in the same boat as you guys. He'll be graduating actually this month. So you guys at least have one more semester. A bit sad, right? Enjoyed you guys. And you'll have a further swan song later on this hour, but you're helping me with the headliners right now. And we'll start with Adam. A pretty big name in the world of local high school football has decided to step down. Who is that, Adam?
Correct. Dave Marriage steps down.
Dave Marriage.
Yep. My apologies. Steps down from St. John's. Marriage landed a head coaching job at Springport in the mid-1990s, and then a few years later found himself in charge of the St. John's program. He says, quote, "I can't say it was something I was driven to do. It just happened." End quote. And then quote again, I just took it and ran with it. Marriage's decision comes after guiding the Red Wings to their first league championship since 2010 and a spot in the playoffs this past fall. St. John's had just one losing season under his direction, and he took over the program in 2000. His total record was 124-72, and including a Division III state runner-up finish in 2004.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff there. As Dave Marigee, and sad stuff, bittersweet because Dave Marigee, I remember when I first started interning here in college at Michigan State, I mean, he was one of the first coaches that I met and got a chance to get to know and cover when I was an intern, a young pup at Channel 6 News. And Dave Marigee now just wants to turn a chapter. You know, he's been there for, 30 years and been a part of that program for 30 years. And a lot of success as the head coach. So we salute Dave Marigee. All right, when it came down to the last shot, number 5 Michigan men's basketball turned to what it knows best, that being defense. The Wolverines forced Northwestern into an off-balance three-pointer that clanged off the iron, giving Michigan a 62-60 win. Wow, was that close or what last night? And its first road win against the Wildcats since 2013, Michigan head. Yeah. Well, that didn't happen last night, Ray. John Beilein, Michigan head coach, said, quote, I knew we were going to have to go through games like this if we are going to be good, and we survived it. I don't know how, but we made just enough good plays down the stretch. Pretty impressive start to the year for the Maize and Blue. Also, when it comes to the Michigan State women's basketball program, they will be on the road at Oakland today in its first true road game of the year. The Spartan women's basketball team will travel to Oakland tonight at 7 p.m. The Spartans started the year 6-1 for the second time in the last 3 years after having the same beginning to the 2016-17 season. Also, Mark D'Antonio, as we alluded to in yesterday's Current Sports, Jack, Mark D'Antonio on the recruiting trail, checking in with some commits in the Detroit area. Trevor, you have more.
Yeah, Mark D'Antonio was in the Metro Detroit area yesterday, checking in with some of his commits around the area. He was at Walled Lake Western to visit 2019 commit Spencer Brown, who's a 3-star offensive tackle committed to the Spartans since July of last year. Also at Walled Lake Western is Boston College commit Sam Johnson II, a 3-star quarterback in Michigan for the class of 2019. Johnson does not have a Michigan State offer. Also while in Detroit, D'Antonio stopped into West Bloomfield. At West Bloomfield is Trey Mosley, a 3-star receiver. Other Metro Detroit MSU commits in the 2019 class are Devontae Dobbs and Julian Barnett of Belleville. Devontae Dobbs, I believe, is the 5th highest rated prospect that's ever committed to Michigan State in the since 247 started ranking prospects.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, wow. I believe that's right. He's a 5-star.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know who the top 2 guys are, Al?
I do not know.
Jeff Smoker and Charles Rogers.
Yeah.
Wow,
the two highest recruits in Michigan State history are both part of the class of 03.
That's amazing.
I think they graduated 03.
Yeah, that's amazing. Smoker and Rogers, huh?
Yeah.
Makes sense. I mean, they were fun to watch, weren't they? And also, I do want to acknowledge this as well. Vernon Carey, the huge basketball player. What school? Can we look? You know where Vernon Carey goes to school at currently right now, Jack? Do you know? Let's look that up. But Vernon Carey, he's a huge basketball commit. And he will be making his decision on Thursday, a little after 3 p.m. But, you know, he's 6'10", 275 pounds. He'll be making his announcement at the University School Gymnasium at 3:30 p.m. And he was last year's Mr. Basketball actually in Florida. So he's in the, that's what I figured too. I just wanted to confirm. He's in the Fort Lauderdale area in Florida. And was the Sun Sentinels Class 6A-1A Player of the Year. And, you know, 247 Sports actually rates Carey, who is also a 2-time gold medalist, as the number 2 prospect in the 2019 class. He originally had been considering 8 college suitors, those being Duke, North Carolina, Miami, Michigan State's in that running. That's what we're talking about in here on Current Sports. Kansas, UCLA, Florida, and Kentucky, before narrowing down that list to Duke, Michigan State, and North Carolina. And what's that school, Jack?
You named it, actually. It's the University School in Fort Lauderdale.
It is in the Fort Lauderdale area because, yeah, I went down there. You know, my mom lives in that area near Miami, and people are in the Fort Lauderdale area. I mean, they go crazy over this kid, dude. It is nuts. I've had a few conversations with some people who live in the area on the golf course, and they love him. So, unfortunately, he won't be playing in Florida. He'll be at either Duke, Michigan State, or North Carolina. But, you know, I was talking with Adam and Trevor about this, Jack. You know, if there's anything that I don't really enjoy about what I do, I'm certainly blessed. I get to talk sports and get paid for it. But recruiting, I hate recruiting, dude. I hate it, man. The hoopla over these five-star, four-star prospects, what school they're going to go to. A lot of them are treated like, I don't know if you've seen the movie He Got Game with Denzel Washington and Jesus Shuttlesworth, a.k.a. also Ray Allen. I mean, they get treated like Jesus Shuttlesworth did in that movie. Some of them pan out, some of them don't. And then the disappointment from grown men who just drool over message boards, just waiting and trying to figure out some kind of code that will allude to this young man going to their school. If that young man doesn't go to their school, it's like the world just ended. I mean, like, dude, get a life.
Oh, it's the epitome of Loserville, being depressed over a recruit making a decision that's best for him.
Right?
But you know what? My one counterpoint would be, at least in basketball, I feel like the rankings are, like, a hell of a lot more accurate just
Because it's basketball. You can impact the game on both sides of the floor. Just the game naturally allows you, you know, you can see talent on the basketball court and know if that talent's going to be solid or not. Usually.
Yeah.
Usually. More time is in football.
Exactly.
You know, football, I mean, the bodies change, the pace of, you know, of the game changes. Not saying that it doesn't in basketball, but you know raw talent when you really see it on the basketball court. So, and I think Vernon Carey is going to be a fantastic player. But the fan bases of Duke, Michigan State, North Carolina, please don't plan your whole day around this tomorrow. And if he doesn't choose your school, please, you know, go take a walk or a jog. Please don't go on these message boards or go on Twitter and immediately start fuming. It's just not a good look, man. Get a life. Get a life. All right, I'm done with that rant. I'm sorry. I kind of went on a rant there. Okay. Next, this is a pretty disturbing story. Adam, a Ferris State football player accused of assault. What's the latest there?
Correct. Ferris State University says a football player who allegedly struck a woman at an off-campus apartment party has been dismissed from the team. The school didn't release the player's name, but it says the alleged assault happened over the weekend and was being investigated by the Mecosta County Sheriff's Office. County Prosecutor's Office was expected to review this case for possible charges.
Okay. Unfortunate news there. Also, the Detroit Red Wings in a incredibly entertaining game last night. What happened, Trevor?
Yeah, the Detroit Red Wings left a point on the table last night that was almost being gift wrapped to them. The Tampa Bay Lightning played the night before and looked sluggish in the first period. They trotted out a journeyman goaltender making his NHL debut, and the Red Wings led by 2 goals almost midway through the third period. They were at an ideal position to snap a 12-game losing streak to Tampa Bay that dated back to the 2016 playoffs. But Detroit couldn't capitalize, squandering the lead and losing 6-5 in a shootout at Little Caesars Arena. Franz Nielsen registered his second career hat trick, and Gustav Nyquist scored 2 goals for the Red Wings. That should have been enough to win, but the Red Wings felt they stopped skating hard after going ahead 5-3 early in the third.
Okay, thank you for that, Trevor. Unfortunate for the Wings there. Also, the Pistons at the Bucks tonight at 8 p.m. And we'll have a few more headliners I want to highlight, but I just got notified we are coming back live on the air at 1:20 p.m. on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. So, Jack, should we hit a break right now?
Yeah, we can hit a break.
Let's hit a break right now. When we come back, we will be live on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM, and we will proceed with the show. So, we'll be right back, folks. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
Travel is one of life's great rewards, and there's always something new to see and experience when you travel the world like I do. Hi, I'm Rick Steves. Join me as we get better acquainted with the world each week on Travel with Rick Steves. Together, we'll explore fascinating sights, discover amazing food, and make new friends from near and far. Your radio is the only passport you'll need. Join us for Travel with Rick Steves.
Sunday evening at 9 on 105.1 FM and AM 870 WKAR.
All right, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. For those who are tuned in and have been tuned in since this morning, of course, the funeral of former President George H.W. Bush at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. You have been listening to our NPR coverage, and we come to you 20 minutes into WKAR's Current Sports. We have just been live on Facebook.com/WKAR News, and we just wrapped up our headliners. So you kind of join us in progress, but really not, because we're just now getting live on the airwaves. And we've got a lot to get to on today's Current Sports. So right now this is labeled as a national day of mourning by President Donald Trump due to the funeral service of President George H.W. Bush. And we certainly want to acknowledge that before we dive into some sports talk today. For those who are just now tuning in, we've got a great show coming your way that will carry you all the way up until the top of the hour at 2 p.m. On today's Current Sports, we will discuss, finally, the retirement of Urban Meyer stepping down as head coach of the Ohio State football program. And many speculating out there, is this really the retirement of Urban Meyer, or will we see him on another sideline? But right now, Urban Meyer is going to coach the Rose Bowl game, and that's going to be it. We'll have further thoughts on that conversation. Also, we'll dive into the Michigan State men's basketball win over Iowa two nights ago at the Breslin Center. That was pretty thrilling, right? A close one to start, but then the cream rose to the top as the Spartans were just able to just pull away from the Hawkeyes and did not look back. And then we'll close out the hour with a conversation centered on Kareem Hunt, formerly of the NFL's Kansas City Chiefs, who is now released from the team, is not right now on an active roster in the National Football League due to an assault that was caught on camera. And if we have time, we'll dive into who we think are the top NFL teams right now. You'll hear my list. Also, we've got Jack Kerwin, Current Sports engineer behind the glass, joining us, and we have Current Sports PAs and reporters, their final day, seeing as though this is the final week of this semester's Journalism 418 partnership with WKAR's Current Sports. So Trevor Toslosky, as well as Adam Mackey, will bid you all adieu, and they will also be joining the conversation. So right now, I want to dive into our introduction of the show right now, because I first off want to play a quick kind of synopsis of what has taken place in Columbus, Ohio, courtesy of NPR's Tom Goldman, as he kind of puts in perspective what has happened in Ohio with Urban Meyer retiring. So let's go right to our intro, Jack.
Urban Meyer is only 54, and he's retired before. After he led the University of Florida to two national titles, he said he was leaving due to health reasons. That was 2010. In 2011, he took the job at The Ohio State University. So it was valid to ask at Meyer's retirement press conference yesterday.
Urban, as you sit here now, do you believe you will not coach again?
I believe I will not coach again.
Are you fairly certain?
Certain, yes.
He says an accumulation of factors led to his decision, one in particular.
Developing news surrounding the Ohio State football program and specifically the health of head coach Urban Meyer, who opened up
that October report on the Big Ten Network detailed the debilitating headaches Meyer has suffered for years. He had brain surgery in 2014 for a cyst that caused the headaches. This season began with added stress. Meyer was suspended three games for not adequately dealing with a former assistant coach whose history of bad behavior included alleged domestic abuse. Meyer was asked if the scandal affected his health.
That was a very difficult time. But as a difficult time that was, that didn't have an impact as much on the headaches, but it did have an impact.
Before Ohio State, his 6 years coaching at Florida also were a mix of on-field success and off-the-field trouble. A reported 31 Florida players were arrested under Meyer's watch. All of the incidents, from Columbus to Gainesville, are notable because Urban Meyer always has stressed the importance of character. And he has always won football games. His overall head coaching record is 186 wins and only 32 losses at Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, and Ohio State. That gives him the third highest winning percentage ever among major college coaches who coached at least 10 years. His record at Ohio State is 82-9, including a perfect 7-0 record against hated rival Michigan and another national title. The numbers make for a great legacy. Meyer says he wants to be remembered for his decades of devotion to players.
It can't be number 78. It can't be that guy. It's got to be his first name, his last name, where he's from, his family, his sister, his brother, and what he does after this football career is over. Once those players know that you have that genuine love and care for them, they'll move mountains for you.
Ohio State now will ask players to move mountains for Ryan Day. The Buckeyes' assistant coach replaces Urban Meyer January 2nd. Tom Goldman, NPR News.
Okay, that is how we start today's WKAR's current sports. First off, big shout out to those who have been watching and bearing with us at facebook.com/WKAR News. We began the show just on social media at our Facebook page live stream right at 1 p.m. due to, of course, the funeral of former President George H.W. Bush at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. That began around 10 a.m. this morning, and things are just wrapping up there. So you all have been tuned in at WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM, tuned in to that NPR coverage of the funeral for former President George H.W. Bush. So we just went live at 1 p.m. on Facebook, and now we're just now joining you exactly, 7 minutes ago now, on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. So that's why I haven't pubbed the phone number for those watching at Facebook Live. But now, if you would like to call in and be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Many of you already commenting at our Facebook page, and you can even tweet us at WKAR underscore sports, or you can tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. For those who are just now tuning in, courtesy of AM 870, 105.1 FM, you didn't miss much on Facebook as we just really wrapped up the headliners, and now we dive into our discussion segment of the show, starting with Urban Meyer. You just heard a brief kind of synopsis of the career of Urban Meyer from NPR's Tom Goldman. Urban Meyer has decided to retire as Ohio State University's football coach after the team's final Rose Bowl game next month. And, I mean, my goodness, I mean, when you look at the success of Urban Meyer on the football field, it's really quite remarkable. Despite that record of success, he has endured rocky years on and off the field. And, you know, I'm hearing this debate. First off, was it shocking to me? Yes. But for those that tuned into the Monday show, the weekend after the Ohio State Buckeyes just, it was a pouncing of the Michigan Wolverines at Ohio Stadium in Columbus, Ohio. For those that tuned into that Monday's edition of Current Sports, you know that what really got me to thinking about maybe this being Urban Meyer's last year, was when the camera panned to Urban Meyer's wife, Shelly Meyer. And she was on the sidelines, and she was just bawling in tears. And I'm sitting there saying, okay, well, I mean, you guys, you know, Ohio State has completely owned, oh, Urban Meyer has owned the Michigan Wolverines throughout his tenure. He has never lost to the Cats out in A squared. Why is Shelly so emotional? And that was the moment for me where I said, okay, it's got to be more to it than just beating the Michigan Wolverines. And I get it. The rivalry is certainly real out there in Columbus, Ohio, when it comes to Ohio State and the Michigan Wolverines. You know, it's one of the most intense rivalries in all of college football. But again, Urban Meyer, he's owned the Wolverines. So why was Shelly so emotional? Now again, I'm reading tea leaves here. I'm trying to look into maybe what that meant, and that's what I did on that Monday's edition of Current Sports. But that's when I really said, I came here on the air and said, you know, the fact that Urban's wife was so emotional, you know, maybe there is something to this year that would lead to Urban possibly saying, look, I'm this is it. This is my swan song. I'm done. And also it came out a little after that, or maybe it was before that. I can't remember the timeline, but Urban also did an interview with a publication in which he talked about his health problems. And Urban has had some health issues. I remember, you know, the first time many of us learned about the health issues of Urban Meyer, it was on the HBO Real Sports program. You know, when Urban talked about, you know, how he was just having health complications dating back to his time in Florida. And then, you know, this year it comes out that he has been battling problems, you know, in his brain with a cyst in his brain that gives him these really intense migraines. And at one point this year, we saw Urban, you know, go to his knees because of how bad the migraine was at that moment in time. And, you know, it's like an arachnoid cyst, something like that, that is really bothering him. And probably what is the biggest reason why many, including myself, believe that Urban Meyer is retiring here. Now, again, I'm not trying to undersell his health issues because they seem to be pretty serious. All right. A cyst in your brain is nothing to turn a blind eye at. All right. Urban Meyer's health issues are real, and that's pretty serious. But when you also think about the fact that this program that Urban Meyer himself completely fumbled the Zach Smith controversy, I think that had also something to do with the fact that Urban Meyer has decided to retire and that this is his final year. I mean, how Urban Meyer and, heck, the entire university, for that matter, those who are, you know, in the upper echelons of Ohio State, how they mismanaged this whole thing, a former assistant coach, Zach Smith, it was just mind-boggling. And, you know, that set off an investigation that ultimately tainted Meyer and also brought up the past that he had in Florida that he tried to really outrun. You know, many people forget. I mean, in Florida, Urban Meyer was known to many as Urban Liar. You know, sure, you know, he won a national title there, had immense success on the football field. And as you just heard during that NPR piece from Tom Goldman, I mean, Urban Meyer's track record of success on the football field is pretty admirable. 186 wins as an FBS coach. That's the most through 17 seasons in major college football history. You just can't ignore that. When we talk about Urban Meyer as a coach, he's one of the best to ever do that. You can't argue that. You can't debate that. his success speaks for itself, and it's traveling success. You know, he has the kind of career that he has at Florida. Then he goes to Ohio State and has that kind of success there. I mean, it's amazing. You know, he's a heck of a football coach. But has Urban Meyer's legacy been tainted a bit because of everything that's happened off the field? Without a doubt. And you can't ignore it. You can't talk about Urban Meyer, the coach on the field, without bringing up Urban Meyer off the field, because it's just glaring. And, you know, it's sure. And it's kind of comical to me, because I think that when you are maybe an alum, you know, former student, you know, or current student of a university, or just a fan of that school or that team, it certainly does cloud your vision a bit. And I believe it does cloud your perception a bit of a figure like Urban Meyer. Because I saw many people, you know, many people that I know who have gone to Ohio State. You know, I know a few cats who have gone there, and I know some people who are just Ohio State diehard fans. The amount of support that Ohio State has for Urban Meyer. And that's why I was kind of leaning the other way. Sure, I saw Shelly Meyer crying on the sidelines after beating Michigan, but I said, man, this dude is worshipped in Columbus, Ohio. You know, there were protests held when it was announced that Urban Meyer would be suspended for how he mismanaged this whole situation, this mess with Zach Smith. For the most part, Urban Meyer was still widely supported in Columbus, Ohio. So that's why a part of me also said, you know, why would he leave? I mean, he can get away with anything out there in Ohio. People still love him there. Fans still love Urban Meyer. So as I'm scrolling on my timeline on Instagram yesterday, I saw a few cats that I know that went to Ohio State, or are just Ohio State fans, you know, just totally in shambles. And thanking Urban Meyer for all that he did in Columbus, Ohio, and how much they are going to miss him. But for me, and you all know, I mean, we had very candid conversations when this whole Zach Smith story went down. We had honest conversations here on Current Sports of how bad this looked. Not just for the university, but of course, for Urban Meyer. And it just kept blowing my mind how Urban Meyer went to bat for Zach Smith. You know, Zach Smith, I mean, this isn't like, you know, when this isn't Bill Belichick under Bill Parcells. This is Zach Smith. This isn't some kind, you know, highly acclaimed assistant coach. This is Zach Smith. So it just blew my mind, especially when the report came out of the investigation, just how it could have been real easy for Urban Meyer to just wash his hands and just fire and let go of Zach Smith. I still, to this day, I don't understand that part of the whole story. And Zach Smith, who I think as of, you know, 5 minutes ago, I think he just put out another tweet. I'm joking. I'm just, because Zach Smith is always on Twitter. He's still mad about how things ended in Ohio State. You know, he posted pictures of his kids, actually, and said, these are the faces that you are hurting anytime that you talk about me and what happened at OSU and blah, 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 blah. Just how that whole thing went down, Urban Meyer just, he looks just bad. And he completely lied to the media. In Chicago, in Chi-Town, when he was asked about, you know, Zach Smith's alleged domestic violence history, and then he tried to retract it, and then the investigation starts, and then if PR classes want to know how not to conduct a press conference in the midst of controversy, you just look at the Urban Meyer presser that announced that he was going to be suspended. And just look at the body language of Urban Meyer. I mean,
he's an idiot.
He really is. He looked like a complete idiot in that moment. I mean, my goodness. Came off as totally unsympathetic. He wouldn't even say, you know, the name of Zach Smith's ex-wife or apologize or anything. And he knew that he messed up when he saw the amount of tweets, I'm guessing, and the backlash that he got, so much so that he put out on his Twitter page, you know, how much he was sorry if he came off as unsympathetic and you know, just totally disconnected from the entire situation during that presser. It was so much going on in that moment that I think Urban Meyer realized that, okay, when I do come back, especially if we don't have success on the football field, this will be it. I can't deal with this anymore. So he has decided to step down. Now, Jack, you asked me the question during that introduction, whether or not I believe that Urban Meyer will be coaching again.
Finito.
I don't think it's finito. I think that Urban Meyer will be back on a sideline within the next 3 years. Within the next 3 to 4 years. He's young. And when you have that kind of success on the football field, there are some desperate programs out there that, whatever. You know, yeah, you've had some controversy dating back to your time, you know, back in Florida. You had a lot of controversy in Columbus. But you can win football games. You can win football games. That's in some programs, that's all they care about because they are that desperate. There's going to be a program out there that is going to be willing to pony up the money to hire Urban Meyer. And I think that Urban Meyer being so young, Urban Meyer being so competitive, and knowing how much his legacy is stained right now, I think that it's going to convince him, again, within the next three to four years, that, all right, let's give one more go at this thing. You know, let me try and put a Band-Aid on my scarred legacy. You know, let me see if I can win here. And I think that if a program out there is willing to pay him the money, he's going to be back on the sideline. And I get it. And I'm not trying to undersell his health problems. I think they are serious. Assisting the brain is pretty serious, okay? However, when I saw Urban Meyer on the sidelines later on this year, Jackie looked okay. And he was walking up and down the sideline. I didn't see him getting on his knees because he got a migraine. He looked pretty amped. He looked focused. He looked fine. He looked fine to me, Jack. So will Urban coach again? Yes, I think Urban Meyer is going to coach again.
You know, Al, it's very weird to me that, you know, in that Michigan game where they were absolutely running the Wolverines out of the building, Urban wasn't clutched over too many times that I can remember in that game. But you know what? I totally agree with you. And you know what the funny thing is? I don't think it's going to take a desperate program to bring in Urban Meyer. Let's say Brian Kelly actually does leave for the NFL the next year or two. Notre Dame has always been Urban Meyer's dream gig. I could absolutely see him there. You know, USC, what are they going to do with Clay Helton? How much longer is Clay Helton going to be at USC? I think Urban Meyer, by the start of the 2020 season, will be at a big-time program like USC or like Notre Dame. I don't think this is his last ride.
So you think in 2 years? You think,
yeah,
pretty soon?
Absolutely.
Gotcha. And I think it'll, you know, and we just talked too. I think you got to give a season for it to play out because, yeah, it will look really bad, like you said.
No, he can't coach next year.
He can't coach next year. That, from an optical standpoint, That just looks shisty. You know what I mean? Trevor and Adam are also in the studio. Trevor?
Does Urban Meyer care how things look optically? Like, if Urban Meyer says he wants to coach somewhere, like, I feel like he's going to do it regardless of what he thinks.
He's going to do whatever he wants, yeah, right.
But also, can you imagine how terrible it would be if Notre Dame was, like, a national power every year? I think, as a college football fan, I am somebody that, like, it's Michigan State is my top, and then anyone that's not, like, a blue blood program. Like, I can't send Alabama, mm-hmm, or Florida or USC. Like, if Notre Dame got Urban Meyer and the players he could recruit there, it would not be a fun time as a college football fan.
Especially
for me,
with the fact that Notre Dame is still not in the conference. That's another discussion for another day.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness. Adam, anything?
I don't really have anything. I agree with everything. I was talking to my friend, actually, when the news came out that he was retiring, and my friend was just like, oh, I feel bad for him because of his health stuff. And I was like, yeah, I agree. But I just, whenever somebody steps down from a job, it's never just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are numerous examples. I mean, you could name anything. And it either is off the field stuff that is the number one, or, you know, sometimes, oh, I have a ailing heart, or obviously brain cyst like what Meyer has. So I feel kind of bad for him. But he's had that success, and he's already retired once. yeah. and came back to coaching, and now he's retiring again.
Right, right.
So I don't know.
It's like your word is kind of like, word is not bond if you're when it comes to Urban Meyer.
Yep,
but if you're Urban Meyer and you actually have a brain cyst, why is a paycheck worth risking your health for? Why was a paycheck worth coming back from your heart issues?
And like, I also think that Urban Meyer is one of those guys who's just uber competitive, man. He just can't sit around. You know, you can picture Urban yep. Meyer sitting around. Oh, I'm retired. Let me go play some golf. You know, I just can't. That's Urban Meyer, for goodness sake.
And he can't go back to the booth at ESPN either because he was terrible at it.
What wasn't great.
He was awful.
What if he tries, like, being an athletic director? I feel like that's something where if he had – could you imagine how much Urban Meyer would love complete control of a university?
That's pretty true.
Maybe there, but I just think he loves football so much, man, that he just – I just can't see him. I just can't see him just chilling. He's going to be doing something, and I think it will be coaching. Also, Jim Harbaugh, you have no more excuses, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
You have no more excuses. It just – the path just got a lot clearer for you. If he does not, if Jim Harbaugh doesn't get to Indy next year, Jack, that's got to be a firing, right? You got to let him go. I mean, there's no more excuses. The excuses are totally out the window.
Here's the thing, though. I don't know if I would discount Ryan Day as a coach just yet.
Ryan Day's a great coach.
Well, I don't know if he's a great head coach, but
I think he's a great. I mean, what he did when Urban was out. Now, granted, those are still Urban's guys. There's a lot more to this too because of recruiting. You know, Michigan, there's no excuse for Michigan not to dominate recruiting now in the Big Ten.
Well, hang on. But from a brand standpoint, Ohio State is always going to recruit really well. Maybe not to the level that Urban had.
Not to Urban Meyer.
But they're still going to bring in great players. Probably bring in more guys from Ohio as opposed to nationally now.
Michigan, Urban just left.
Yeah.
This is your opportunity. You are still Jim Harbaugh. Well, however, you know, you want to perceive that. You're still the Michigan football program. Jim Harbaugh has no more excuses.
What if we're looking
especially with how close they were this year?
But what if we're looking at the Big Ten's version of the Bob Stoops Lincoln Riley saga here?
Maybe.
What if he's the next great young offensive mind in football? I mean, I will say this.
Again, possibly, but I'm not banking on that, Jack.
No, I understand. I will say this, though. Ohio State has run through several offensive coordinators the last few years ever since Tom Herman left for Texas.
Yeah.
And Ryan Day has brought stability to that offense. He has been fantastic where other people have failed.
I will say this. I'm shocked, though, that they didn't. Did Ohio State didn't give itself a chance to go out there and look for other candidates?
I said that, too. I don't know why they didn't kick the tires on Bob Stoops because he's an Ohio native.
Exactly. They just immediately went to Ryan Day.
Must be really high on the guy.
Yeah, you can say that again. All right, let's hit our final break. We'll come back and wrap up the show. I do want to dive into what we saw from Michigan State men's basketball because I do believe it was pretty special. I don't think anybody who watched that game can argue otherwise. And also, we'll touch on Kareem Hunt and the situation happening with him and the Kansas City Chiefs and the NFL. So that and more you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. A bit of a shortened version for those listening at WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. Of course, we had NPR coverage airing the first portion of the hour, the funeral service of President George H.W. Bush at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. So you joined us around 1:20 p.m. And as we come down now to the home stretch of this hump day edition of Current Sports, I do want to touch on the Michigan State men's basketball win over the Iowa Hawkeyes two nights ago. It was incredibly impressive as Michigan State is now 2-0 in conference play, 7-2 overall, and this one was close. It was close to start. And then all of a sudden, you just saw that lead just stretch and then stretch some more, and then stretch some more. I mean, it was amazing. And I do want to start with Cassius Winston because he is the guy. I mean, this team will go as far as Cassius Winston takes them. And I said it last year as well. I mean, Cassius Winston, whenever, if you go back and look at the stats, if Cassius Winston had a great game, Michigan State won. When he struggled, whether that be shooting from the field or turnovers, Michigan State lost. And it's going to be the same thing this year. He is the guy that runs the offense. He's the quarterback of this team. And, you know, he dished out 12 assists. 12 assists against Iowa. Had just one turnover, folks.
Shazam!
Yeah, Shazam, Coach Izzo. It's amazing. You know, Winston doesn't need to light up the scoreboard. When he's facilitating, getting guys involved, and again, not turning the basketball over, and oh, by the way, staying in the game as well because he had that foul trouble issue the game prior to against Louisville. Well, I should say two games ago against Louisville. But when he's on the floor, I mean, he's special. You know, his court vision it's amazing. And they really need him because, you know, Foster Lawyer, he's still developing. He's young. It's going to take some time for Foster to get totally comfortable with running things at the point. So Cassius, he has to be that guy. Also, you know, Michigan State is completely dominated down low. I mean, Kenny Goins, Xavier Tillman, Nick Ward. First off, Ward, one of the best games of his Michigan State career. You know,
I'm thankful.
Yeah, right. Arguably the best game of his Michigan State men's basketball career. He bullied the Hawkeyes down low. Gave them fits. 10 of 10. Didn't miss a shot. Finished the game with 26 points. Also had 9 rebounds, 2 blocks. Amazing. You know, Ward proved that he can be dominant in the post. You know, throughout these two Big Ten games, he's averaging 23 points and 7 rebounds. That is not too bad. Not too bad, I might say. And again, Iowa just had no bodies to contend or to contest with guys like Ward, guys like Xavier Tillman, and a guy like Kenny Goins, who's also been pretty productive, right? I mean, Kenny Goins is that guy who can give you great defense. He's going to give you all-out effort. He's going to dive on the floor for loose balls. He is a glue and guts kind of player. Same thing with Xavier Tillman as well. I mean, Xavier Tillman, he's going to do the dirty things, get the cleanup rebounds. It was an amazing performance from Michigan State men's basketball as they now prepare to head on the road out in Gainesville, Florida, to take on the Gators on Saturday afternoon. It was special, though. I did not see, especially when that game was tight early on, I did not see the kind of performance that we saw for Michigan State in the second half. Amazing. Again, a Cassius. I mean, 12 assists, 1 turnover. Amazing. And when he is turning the ball over, you know, 5-6 times a game, the Spartans suffer. But when he's just turning the ball over maybe, you know, once or twice in the game, MSU wins. And they are extremely difficult to beat.
You like that?
Yeah.
You like that?
We like that a lot, Kirk. We like that a lot. We do have Trevor Toslowski and Adam Mackey in studio for the last time. The last time you will hear them on our airwaves, unless they come back next semester and just want to, you know, hey, pop in. What's up, Al? You guys are certainly more than welcome to do that, but I want to give you guys a chance to say goodbye to all of our listeners out there. And as I say that, you both will be graduating in May. And I'm curious, after your experience here at WKAR, has it kind of become clear what you guys want to do? And are you interested in radio at all? I'll start with Adam.
I was a little scared coming in. I never had radio experience. I didn't really know what to expect. But now going through this, I'm much more comfortable with it. And if I had to do radio, not necessarily I want to do radio as like my top priority, but if radio is definitely an option now.
That's so awesome stuff, man. So what is the dream? What is the goal when you cross that stage in the Breslin Center next year in May?
I'm a big sports trivia guy. So I think I want to do sports information for my career. I currently work at MSU's Athletic Communications, so I'm getting a good head start.
That's great stuff. So you know Ben Flieger and Matt Larson, and, you know, Paulette, all those, you know, Kara Fisher, Zach Fisher, everybody over there. That's awesome
stuff.
Yep. All right. What about for you, Trevor?
Radio is something that I've always been kind of intrigued by. I wouldn't say that's what I this would be something I want to be a play-by-play or color guy in the booth. That when I'm in the booth is I
for hockey.
Baseball is my favorite.
Baseball is your favorite. Okay, that's number one.
Football is the one that I've had the most experience with. Did some at when I was at Northern Michigan.
Gotcha.
Indoor football last year.
Okay.
But yeah, baseball's been my favorite. I really haven't had an opportunity. It's been kind of tough because to get an internship when baseball starts in the spring and school is still going on. But doing like a radio show, like a weekly radio show or podcast, I think would be something.
Everybody has a podcast, right?
Would be something I would really enjoy. So yeah, I'm hoping to find a home. And I think the good thing is that this this industry will give you a chance to move around, because especially in a position like mine, like, you know, there's only a finite number of teams and only so many spots to fill.
Right.
So like, you know, some places you can get a job wherever you're at. If you're a doctor or a dentist, everyone needs those, but not everyone needs a broadcaster.
Right.
So I think like being willing to go where the jobs are, I think it's going to be something fun, at least early on.
Especially as a play-by-play guy, man, you're going to be on the road all the time. That's why I knew I couldn't do play-by-play.
Small towns. See, that's what I would like thrive on though.
Okay, you like that.
Yeah, I think so. I think I would really enjoy that.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll be working in Muskegon for their indoor football team again this year.
That's
with
great.
A couple more road games last year. They had some issues come up and they only played home games. So hopefully getting to get to the other cities and start meeting other people in the industry.
That's great stuff. All right. And please be sure to keep us updated on your respective journeys after things are said and done after May of next semester. But it's been a pleasure to have you both a part of Current Sports. And also just real quick, as we have just under, you know, a minute and a half here, your final stories, what are those final stories about? Adam?
My final story is actually really unique. I'm in the Spartan Marching Band here, and it was my senior day a few weeks ago at Rutgers, and I had this little GoPro camera on my instrument. And so my final story is kind of about being in the band, being a full-time student, and working at Athletic Communications. And I'm kind of just talking about how I deal with doing three full-time things, and I'm going to show people some of my views of Spartan Stadium and
that's great.
Things I do. So
that's great. And what about for you, Trevor?
Mine is looking at like the big picture of esports on campus.
Esports is growing.
Yeah, it's growing a lot. Ohio State has put in like a full program and is moving towards varsity esports. Western Michigan already just renovated a theater on their campus to turn it into an esports arena.
Wow.
So Michigan State is not far behind, but they gotta get to where they're going, because you know it's coming fast, and you gotta be really willing and ready to take that step when it presents itself.
That's great stuff. All right, we're looking forward to both of those stories. Adam, Trevor, thank you so much. Great work throughout this semester. All right,
thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay, we'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. We'll be back to your regularly scheduled programming. We'll be live on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM, right at 1 p.m. Until then, though, thank you so much for joining this condensed hour of Current Sports. See you tomorrow, folks. And as always, be easy, people.